More voters in Jacksonville say they support expanding the city's human rights ordinance than paying down pension debt with a sales tax. Good Monday morning, and live from Studio 5, this is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Melissa Ross. We're always live at 9. Make sure to subscribe to the daily podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can watch the show now, too, video on demand at our partner, TVJax.com. Just ahead, we'll take your calls on UNF's new poll looking at the city's pension issue and its HRO. Get on the line at 549-2937. Then later, marking Better Speech and Hearing Month, find out what's being done to help people of all ages. Plus, Culpepper on all of the action this week out at the Players' Championship. What you need to go out and see, all of that ahead this morning. But first this hour, a new poll shows Mayor Lenny Curry has some work to do to build support for his pension tax referendum proposal that Duval County voters will decide this summer. The UNF poll says just 36% of local residents are for the pension sales tax extension, with 24% opposed. But 40% say they have no opinion, so theoretically they could be swayed to vote yes. At the same time, a big plurality in the city supports HRO expansion on the grounds of sexual orientation, gender identity, and expression, with 64% of Duval County voters in favor, just 26% opposed. Mike Binder runs the UNF Public Opinion Research Laboratory. He joins us now with more about these poll numbers and what they mean for the mayor's office, the city. Good morning. Always good to see you, Mike.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And here's our question to callers. We want your calls and comments about UNF's new poll. Where do you stand on the pension sales tax proposal and the HRO? Call us up, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or go online to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect. Email and tweet us. And we always welcome your comments on Facebook. Well, let's begin with the pension tax referendum. You're finding 36% support, 24% opposed, and 40% say they don't have an opinion at all.
Right, and this is not unsurprising. It's a fairly complicated argument. There's multiple layers to it, and it's a relatively new public policy issue. Not that the pension's a new problem, but this particular plan is relatively new. So the mayor's got some selling to do.
You describe this as limited support with a great deal of uncertainty. So what's Mayor Lenny Curry's strategy over the next several months to educate the public about this and get enough people to vote yes?
Well, I think that it's two-pronged. One, he needs to continue to reiterate the importance that there's a giant pension problem. It's eating up a lot of the resources of our city's governance and the ability to do a lot of different things. And then the second piece of that is, okay, once there's a problem, how do we fix it? He needs to make voters believe that this is the best way to go about solving that.
And we'll go to your calls for UNF pollster Mike Binder in just a moment at 549-2937. Now, the mayor is launching a Yes for Jacksonville political committee to convince voters to vote yes on the pension proposal in August. He's tapped Susie Wiles, who co-chaired the Donald Trump campaign in Florida. She is a well-known Republican political player and former Sheriff Nat Glover, an African-American Democrat. He's president of Edward Waters College. What do you think about that bipartisan team getting out to sort of carry the message out for the mayor?
And you're going to see a lot of that. It's an interesting coalition of folks. The people that are supportive of the unions want to ensure that their pensions stay healthy, typically tend to be more Democratic. But also on the other side, the Republicans are understanding that, hey, if we don't solve this, the city's in real trouble, and they're supportive of it as well. So it's a fascinating coalition, and it will help him make that sale. When people say, oh, look, it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats and Republicans coming together, maybe this is something we should support.
And let's talk about the other issue you pulled on, the human rights ordinance, which has been a controversial topic for years now in the city of Jacksonville. You find a large plurality of Duval Countyans, 64%, support HRO expansion, only 26% against.
Yeah, and this is consistent with the polling we've been doing for a couple of years on this. Folks are supportive of it. The city council may be hesitant. The mayor may be nervous. But by and large, Jacksonville's like, yeah, okay, no big deal.
And in fact, you find this is, even though Democrats are more in favor of this, independents and Republicans by pluralities as well.
Yeah, independents by large margins and Republicans, you know, they're more supportive than they are in opposition to it. And that's, again, consistent with the polling that we've been doing for the last couple of years.
What do you think both of these numbers will mean then for the mayor's office, city council representatives looking at where the public is? Of course, they're going to be sensitive to any poll numbers.
Sure. Well, I mean, sadly, I'm not sure that it means a lot because we've been coming out with these consistently now. And obviously, there was an opportunity earlier this year. Tommy Hazzuri pulled it for whatever reason. Maybe he didn't think he had the votes. So we'll see. Hopefully, if after August 30th, once we get past the pension vote, maybe the city council will again look to something like this.
And we're going to go to your calls right now as UNF pollster Mike Binder shares new data on two important issues for Jacksonville. The first one being where voters stand on the pension tax referendum. You'll vote on that in August if you're in Duval County. And also where the public stands on expanding the city's human rights ordinance. We want your calls right now at 549-2937. Bill is in Mandarin. Hi, Bill. Good morning. Happy Monday.
Good morning. Thank you. Same to you. My only question is, this is not going to take effect till the 2030. Why the rush now? Why don't we wait till like 2025 when we'll be a lot smarter?
Sure. And he's talking about the extension of the half-cent sales tax under the Better Jacksonville plan. This is what Mayor Curry is proposing to do to pay down the pension debt.
Right. So the original half-cent sales tax is set to expire in 2030. The plan is to extend it from 2030 through 2060. But the I don't want to say trick, but what the mayor is planning on doing is once this passes, you would then bond against the prospect of future revenue so that you would then be able to get a big lump sum of money today in order to help stick those into the pension plans now to help infuse some life into them.
Will you vote yes on the pension proposal this summer? Call us up right now. Let us know yes or no where you stand at 549-2937. Let's go to Peter on the south side. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Yes, hi, fine, thanks. A couple of things. One is I'm not surprised about the number of undecided, because not too many people read the newspaper, and that's where the bulk of the information is. TV news is about five or 10 seconds, and that's about it. On the HRO, I'm a little surprised because we're talking about the HRO, which a lot of people support, plus gender identity and expression, which a lot of people don't support. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for that, Mike.
So the caller is right. There is not a great deal of information out there about this. There will be more as we go forward, but it's a complicated issue. And, you know, in a news segment, when you have 22 and a half minutes and you got to do weather, you got to do sports, you got to do local interest, there's not a lot of time to explain that. Even when the mayor's had the opportunity to sit down and do more extended interviews, he hasn't been very specific. If you look at some of the language in the proposed ballot measure, there's talk of closing down pension plans. Which ones? All of them? What's the new pension plans going to look like going forward? And the caller referenced the newspaper. There was a piece in the Times Union over the weekend that went into this in great detail. But again, there were still some questions left. So it's not surprising there's uncertainty.
And when he mentioned that there's support for the when you talk about the LGBT community expanding workplace and public protections for them, the caller said everything but the T, the transgender community. What about that? We're seeing 64% approval for the HR expansion, which would include transgender persons. Just last week in Five Points, there was a mural that read, "You've been going to the bathroom with transgender people your whole life." Then somebody spray painted over it. That kind of gave us a window into why this remains a hot button issue locally and nationally.
Sure. And the idea that by adding this transgender is going to change everything, I think you have to take that with a grain of salt. And I say that because people hear HRO, and we've been hearing it for several years here in Jacksonville, and people have an opinion about it. We added the gender identity to this iteration of the survey because that's what the proposal was in front of city council. We typically poll on real policy issues that have potential to get passed. So by doing that, I think people, you know, by and large, yes, a vocal minority is very well informed, but a lot of people are like, oh yeah, HRO sounds good, and they don't necessarily know the finer details to it.
Steve on the north side, go ahead, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hi, I'm just calling to register a vote that I would not be voting for the pension extension tax.
You're going to vote yes?
No, I'm going to vote no.
You're going to vote no. Why are you voting no?
I believe that we have too much waste already in our government expenses. And with just the number of properties that are in the city that we're not collecting taxes on, the number of people who are not paying the taxes, that we're taking money from people who regularly contribute, and we're not spreading this across the whole base of people who live in and who predominantly use those services in Jacksonville.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. All right. So how is the mayor going to sway voters like Steve? He's got 4 months to try to get those no votes to yes. He needs 50% plus one. Right now, according to your numbers, Mike, he's standing at about 30-some percent.
I think the trick is going to be getting folks to understand that it's really not any different than what's happening today. It's just a continuation. And, oh, yeah, guess what? It doesn't happen for 15 years or 14 years. So I think that's going to have to be the argument, and along with the fact that you're not going to be able to get this large amount of money. You're talking literally billions with a B to help offset the debts in these pension programs.
Right, right. Hank is in East Arlington. Hi, Hank. Good morning.
Hi. Well, I hate to follow up that other guy, but I'm a no voter. And the two comments I had on the pension, not the HRO, is, well, the first thing is I'd like to see a full accounting of which mayor made what deal with the pensions. So I think that's been covered up quite a bit so far. The second part is I favor a like a 1 or 2 time tax increase on real estate. In other words, just pay it down.
A property tax.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Pay it down in 1 or 2 years instead of, you know, selling bonds like what they're talking about.
All right. Thanks, Hank. That's Hank in East Arlington. You know, when Mayor Curry was on this program a couple of weeks ago, Mike, he addressed both of those points. So, you know, what the caller Hank just said. When callers asked, how did we get into this mess? Who was responsible? What the current mayor will say is, look, there's plenty of blame to go around.
And there is.
And there is. And then when I asked Mayor Curry about the sentiment that some have, like Hank, why not do a property tax as opposed to a half-cent sales tax? The mayor rules that out of hand. Okay, so what about Hank's comments?
Well, so I think it would be fascinating. This is, again, this is not something you can do in a 30-minute news program, but maybe a long, drawn-out special. Hey, guys, over at the TU, detail this. I think it'll be a fascinating read because this is both parties. This is multiple administrations, but also this is not unique to Jacksonville. Everywhere across the country, these same things were happening in the 90s and early 2000s. The other piece of that is, why not just do property taxes? Well, the mayor's argument is that a sales tax spreads the pain around so that folks that visit the city that don't live here also are chipping in because they potentially use some of the police and fire resources as well. The other point is, if you wanted to get this type of money in a one-time shot, you're talking, you know, better than, you know, $1,000 per man, woman, and child in Jacksonville in a one-time shot. That's half a property tax bill, maybe an entire property tax bill. You're talking doubling this stuff if you want to do it in a one-year, one-time shot.
All right. Lots of calls for UNF pollster Mike Binder as we discuss UNF's new poll looking at two hot issues in the city, the pension referendum, which Duval Countyans will decide this summer, and the city's HRO. Here's a Facebook comment from Michael. I keep hearing about the sales tax portion, but I've heard less about the increase in contributions from police and fire and how that will affect them.
Yeah, and there's... this has been going on, and these been slow changes in the police and fire pension, and also the municipal employees, which is included in this. They've been contributing more and more over the last several years. The real fascinating part is the closing of these pension plans and which ones are going to be closed and what they're going to look like going forward. That's gotten no attention. Mm-hmm. And I think that there really needs to be some more explanation of that.
Meanwhile, Bill emails the show saying, I will enthusiastically vote yes. It's not a new tax, just a continuation of an existing one. Services have been cut to the bone. Our quality of life is suffering. You don't become a desirable city by cutting services and hurting quality of life. It's time to pay our bills. It's the responsible and conservative thing to do, he writes the show. And if you want to weigh in, it's 549-2937. John is on the South Side. Hey, John. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm voting no on the Better Jacksonville pension. Sure, there's been legislative actions, you know, over administrations and councils. And one piece of legislation alluded to by a previous caller was 2005-1007. You know, and that's like 11 years ago. But that gave all the general employees the ability to retire in 20 years. It was extended to 5 years. So that was enacted. So, in other words, the real burden of all this is going to be coming on, you know, Duval County residents. And, you know, as far as this task force, you know, again, you know, you got to look at the self-serving interests of those that will be serving on that task force, and especially, you know, if you're going to be benefiting and living in outlying counties. Of course, you know, you're going to be supporting that. So anyway, I just wanted to inject that. And but I'll be voting no on it.
Okay. Thanks, John.
I think, again, this is the type of thing that the administration is going to have to contend with, these types of concerns. The one thing I hope people understand is, and this has been consistent across many levels of many courts across many states, these pension responsibilities, we are legally obligated to pay.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to pay those at some point, somehow, some way.
And in 4 months, can not just the mayor, but his high-profile surrogates, can they make this case? And we're getting, of course, it's a very unscientific sample, the people calling into our show. But,
sure.
But there are some no calls.
Right. There's absolutely some no calls. And you're going to see that. If people are uncertain and don't know, you know, they might just, out of fear, say, well, you know, I don't want to give more money to the government. And that's a reasonable concern. I think the mayor has a real opportunity to make the case. I think he's in a position, because he's not going to be facing a lot of opposition, that he's more likely than not to be successful.
Mark in Jacksonville. Hey, Mark, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been following this issue quite a bit, and some bit of real basic information seems to be missing. Could someone please tell us exactly how much money the half-cent sales tax generates per year? And personally, I feel as though they're kicking it down the road. You know, they're going to borrow into the future, and they're not really dealing with it now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, it's picked up a couple of billion dollars over the last 15, 16 years or so. So divide by that. And as far as kicking the can down the road is, yes, in some sense we are, right? We're going to be borrowing on projected resources that we're going to generate 15 years from now. So that's absolutely true. Now, what does that do today? It helps reduce the amount of money that gets put in, that we're taking out of the general fund into the pension, so we can do a little bit more today with it. But 15 years down the road, this half-cent sales tax we've been using for investment won't be able to be used for that.
That's
so there's
right.
Certainly a cost to be had down the line.
And let's assume for the sake of argument, two scenarios. Obviously, the one the mayor wants is that this passes. We look ahead to a future in the city where there's a little more money for other basic needs. Everything from roads and parks to amenities and
additional police, which the mayor has been trumpeting.
Right. Now let's assume that it fails. Then what's that scenario look like to you?
Well, the mayor's not painting a pretty picture. And, you know, we spent upwards of $270 million on in pension contributions this year alone. They're talking about it going up to 400. You know, we have a billion-dollar budget. When you're spending 40, maybe almost 50% of your budget on pension contributions, that leaves no room for anything else. You know, that and police, and there's your entire budget. So thinking about anything that the city does, it would all either go away or we'd be faced with that massive property tax increase.
One more call. It's Bob on the north side. Bobby, good morning. Go ahead.
Yes. My opinion about this is that if we would do a millage rate to cover half the shortfall, say enough to cover $100 million, and have it sunset when the new tax comes on board, that would be more palatable to me. You know, and the fact of the matter is homesteaded properties are not going to pay the lion's share of it. It's the people who are investment properties and large businesses. And this has been a known entity for many, many years. Peyton has talked about it. He knew these costs were coming up. The last thing they're going to get anybody to do is just say, trust me, because we trusted them and we got in this hole. And, you know, they are kicking it down the road. So I would be in support of a millage rate increase for a short period of time that would be sunsetted when this comes in to offset some of the losses. But, you know, he's going out and he's threatening the budget. He's not, you know, offering any kind of improvements predicated on us passing this. And the last thing he's going to get in this political environment is trust government. I'm sorry. I agree that we need to fix it, but we need to have a multifaceted approach, not just, you know, my way or the highway.
Okay. Thanks for your call, Bobby. Okay. No surprise that folks of all political persuasions are distrustful of government right now. How does that leave the mayor? And what about his other comment about the millage rate? You know, when Mayor Curry was here, he ruled that out, saying that he didn't like that idea because a future administration could take that pot of money and do something else with it.
Which is, there's a couple of things. One, the trust issue, yes. I mean, there is a deep-seated lack of trust of government officials pervasive throughout this country, and Jacksonville is no different. And it does make the mayor's job that much more difficult to convince voters of this. You know, the idea of a multi-pronged approach it is great, but the problem is, what's that multi-pronged approach and how are you going to get people to agree on all the different facets of it? And then how are you going to sell the public on something like that? It's complicated, and complicated doesn't go over very well. Just look at the presidential cycle. You know, simplicity seems to be winning out there. So that's another piece of this. And how the mayor goes about this, you know, this my way or the highway, he's invested a lot of political capital in getting this thing passed. So yeah, he's all in. He is literally pulling up all his chits and he's saying, this is the way it's got to be. So yeah, he's making a stand, if you will, and he's not being particularly inclusive of other points of view because he thinks this is the best way forward.
More results on our website later today from this new UNF poll. Always timely and great to speak with you. Thanks for being here, Mike.
Thanks a lot, and I'll be back hopefully later in the summer when we have some congressional races and also some other issues coming out with likely voters in July.
Excellent. Mike Binder runs UNF's Public Opinion Research Laboratory. Well, much more still ahead. Later, Cole Pepper with a look ahead to all the excitement out at the Players' Championship. That's later on. But up next, from kids to senior citizens, find out how audiologists are helping local patients. May is Better Speech and Hearing Month. That's in a moment.
Legal and political segments on First Coast Connect, brought to you by Farrah and Farrah.
Kate Tempest made her name as a rapper, a playwright, and a poet. Now she's also a novelist who still wants you to hear the sound of her words.
That's a big ask because you're not going to sit down at home and read a whole novel out to yourself, but there will come lines or moments that you will just feel compelled to, as the reader, just read out loud.
Writing for the eye and the ear, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today at 4 on 89.9 WJCT, your community, your world.
The number of heroin-related deaths on the First Coast has more than doubled in a year. Law enforcement is pledging to clamp down on sellers as they urge users to seek help for their powerful addiction. In Community Thread, The Opioid Epidemic, we'll take a look at the factors drawing people toward the needle and the strategies our community is using to fight back. Log on to wjct.org/events/community-thread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be a part of our studio audience on May 10th.
The next stage of the global economy is already upon us, everybody.
India is growing rapidly. The smog cloud from China already comes all the way here into the West Coast. So it's upon us now, and it's going to be increasingly so in the next decade.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the brave new world of India, China, and the United States in the global economy, next time on Marketplace.
Weekday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Fresh Air, Richard Russo. In his new novel, Everybody's Fool, he writes about his father's generation.
I love their optimism. Those men who came back, like my father was a D-Day guy, and they had the GI Bill, and it looked like America would be theirs.
Also, a review of the final episode of The Good Wife. Join us.
Weekdays at noon on 89.9 WJCT. Your community, your world.
Welcome back. Well, a recent Johns Hopkins study shows that treating hearing loss aggressively may help stave off cognitive mental decline and dementia. Two-thirds of Americans suffer from hearing loss by the time they reach age 70. So hearing services are crucial for them. And at the same time, when you treat kids who have speech or language disorders, that benefits society. For every dollar spent, schools save nearly $10. On remedial education. May is Better Speech and Hearing Month, and joining us now, we welcome Michael Hallin, CEO of the Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center. Good to see you.
Thank you, Melissa.
And you're having an event coming up on May 21st. More on that in a moment. But first, let's talk about how these interventions help. I was interested to read not just senior citizens, but also young people. Really fascinating.
Well, children especially are at risk for hearing loss and speech and language delay, and the critical thing is to get them while they're young, to get them before they reach kindergarten. One of the biggest things that we do is to help those preschoolers age 3 to 5 who are experiencing some kind of speech and language delay, but it's so critical to get them the intensive therapies to overcome those challenges and be ready to start kindergarten, able to communicate, ready to learn, and free from any kind of impediment or challenge that's going to ostracize them from their classmates from the very beginning.
Absolutely. And this goes beyond audiology. It also involves speech pathology. Kids that might have anything from a lisp to another type of issue that they're having to work through. Right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's more common than people realize.
It is. And we find that the average child and the average length of time to help that child overcome a speech and language delay is about 22 intensive one-hour therapy sessions.
Uh-huh. Now, they're all through the spectrum of folks. The Jacksonville Speech and Hearing Center is working with people in the community. Veterans often come back from deployment with tinnitus and hyperacusis. Those are two hearing problems that your audiologists are certified to help with. How does that work?
That's correct. Veterans are a big challenge. Veterans that served, say, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, there was little, if any, kind of protection from hearing loss. Today, we're seeing half of the veterans return from the Middle East suffering from some kind of hearing challenges. So hyperacusis and tinnitus are two of the biggest challenges that are especially experienced by veterans. And Hyperacusis is an excruciating aversion to any kind of sound. Tinnitus is the ringing of the ears. Which
I mispronounced
more,
it, sorry. That's okay. I said tinnitus.
We do too. So, but tinnitus, the ringing of the ears, more commonly experienced among people who are not veterans. But we have Dr. Fenya Madsen on our staff who has developed a range of expertise in terms of helping particularly veterans on the tinnitus and hyperacusis front with therapies that that she is involved with.
And last but not least, as we mentioned, 2/3 of all Americans suffer hearing loss by the time they get to age 70. How do these therapies help seniors really decrease their potential for suffering dementia, which I was not aware of that link either?
Yeah, for seniors, the real critical thing is it's age-related hearing loss, and it's really important that people protect their hearing, really at all ages. I mean, we're seeing right now 1 in 5 teenagers has hearing loss from wearing the headphones and everything else. So, but protecting your ears from that hearing loss is absolutely essential. And if you do experience that hearing loss, the important thing is to address it before it goes on too long. Get your hearing screened. If there's an issue, have a more diagnostic evaluation. If you need a hearing aid, don't delay getting it because, as you noted, and there's certainly a lot more research to be done, but the Johns Hopkins study drew a strong correlation between unaddressed hearing loss and dementia.
With all of that said, May is Better Speech and Hearing Month, and you're going to be celebrating that with a really fun time. It's called FinFest, Rolling on the River. What's going to be happening? This is not this weekend, but next weekend.
Yes, May 21st, Tim Aquana Country Club. It's our premier fundraiser for the year, and it takes on added significance because we did not get a City of Jacksonville Public Service Commission grant this year. But it's a fun night, beach-themed attire, and it is right there on the river, a beautiful setting. All of the proceeds go to help us serve those that can otherwise afford help with their speech, language, and hearing challenges.
And go to the Speech and Hearing Center's website to get your information for that at shcjax.org. Here's to Better Speech and Hearing with CEO Michael Howland. Learned so much just talking to you for a few minutes. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Melissa.
We'll be right back.
From 1925 through 1953, the luxury passenger train Orange Blossom Special traveled from New York City to Miami and back. I'm Ben Brotmarkle, and coming up on Florida Frontiers, the weekly radio magazine of the Florida Historical Society, we'll discuss the iconic song that was inspired by that train. We'll talk about the 19th century court-martial of William King and the Seminole War fort named after him. That's Florida Frontiers, Monday evening at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
Coming up on the next reveal.
They said that there was some allegations put forth against me.
Tracy Griesbaum was a successful coach with no reason to think her job was at stake, but she was fired.
And I asked, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And I was never told what I did wrong.
A national trend where female coaches are forced out on the next reveal.
Thursday at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
But it feels like working. Panama Red is back in town. Panama Red.
Panama Red is the price of corruption and greed to the global economy. Getting the bad guys in the Panama Papers, now you can too. A database for outing the cheaters. Next time on The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Weekdays at 2 on 89.9 WJCT.
Spend some time in the Square, an online venue for local artists. WJCT invites you to vote for your favorite submission. Vote now through the end of the month. To learn more about the square and to place your vote, visit wjct.org/thesquare.
Welcome back. Well, right now, we've got a delicious new way to support a local business and neighborhood and learn some great new recipes all at the same time. You can help support the Jacksonville culinary scene and bring out the next very cool new local cookbook. Callie Marie Webb and Jack Trotman with Brew 5 Points are announcing the launch of Callie Marie Bakes, a locally produced coffee table cookbook. They even brought some goodies with us to our green room, which was very exciting. Jack, Callie Marie, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Melissa. Good to be here.
So good to have you both here with us. And you're working on this together. Jack, you're writer and editor of Callie Marie Bakes. Now, you're classically trained, so these are your recipes for all of us to enjoy. How did this project come together?
Yeah, I always wanted to write a cookbook. Like, I set goals every year right before my birthday. Like, what do I want to do this year? And for 24, I was like, I just want to write a cookbook. And I was talking about it very openly at Brew with Jack and Carrie Sanchez Potter, who's our project manager. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to write a cookbook before I'm 24. And Carrie was like, oh my gosh, let's do it. Let's do this. And like within the next week, she had sent me like a timeline and an outline of how to get the project done. And then we were like, okay, I guess we'll do it.
If you want to get something done, ask a busy woman. Yeah. That's generally my experience. So you ask the right person. Yeah. Now, you're the food program manager at Brew 5 Points. Mm-hmm. Jack, these are some of the items that people, when they come into Brew at 5 Points, they can enjoy.
Absolutely.
And so that it helps extend your brand.
Totally.
As well.
Yeah, we made the really good decision a little over a year ago to be a little more than a coffee shop and a bar. And we had Callie, she was a barista at the time. She kind of pitched the idea to me, like, we could make some stuff here in-house. And there were some things that I missed and from Texas that Callie was familiar with. So we brought on the breakfast tacos and the kolaches, which we brought with us today. And just kind of wanted to create something that was, you know, pulled from our roots and that also kind of changed things up and made something unique for Jacksonville. So that's what a lot of the stuff in the cookbook is going to be.
What all, now, as I look at your website, and by the way, people can go to it right now at Callie, C-A-L-L-I, Marie. That's my middle name, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
CallieMarieBakes.com. Now, when you go to this website, these cakes and desserts look so incredible.
Thank you.
I'm so intimidated thinking that there is no way I could make something that beautiful. But these recipes are a way for people to try to get into this level of baking.
Well, yeah. So the cookbook is more just coffee shop inspired baking at home. It's everything we serve at Brew. And it's not a lot of it's not cake. A lot of it's more just pastries and cookies. And even the coffee that we brought you today, the syrup is a lavender syrup. And that recipe will be in there.
By the way, I don't think I've ever had coffee with lavender, iced coffee with lavender syrup. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So delicious.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's actually more approachable things. My cakes are more custom. And
sure.
If I do another book, it'll be about cakes. But this one is just more like what I get to experience every day at Brew, just cooking a bunch of breakfast stuff for my friends with my friends.
And this is about a culture too, Jack, isn't it? You're trying to spread this cafe culture to anyone who might pick up this book.
Absolutely. Coffee's a funny business to be in. There's not a whole lot of margins in it. So, you know, we have great roasters here like Bold Bean that, you know, they can buy green beans much cheaper and roast them and make those margins. We unfortunately aren't doing that. So the food for us has really been something that's fun and been able to set us apart. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of the future of coffee. You know, they talk about coffee in waves. And so you had third wave is what we're kind of in now. And I think the fourth wave is going to be more of that sort of cafe culture of the food and stuff.
With all of that said, there's a Kickstarter project underway right now to fund Callie Marie Bakes' coffee shop-inspired baking at home. People can crowdfund for this.
Mm-hmm. And we're really close. There's only 12 days left. We're only about $2,000 away. And we've partnered with a lot of great people for our like higher rewards where you can have like a private dinner for eight by a Legend Series chef and you can just buy the cookbook. There's an office catering from Brew. There's a ton of great rewards, and we're super close.
And really excited, too, that people can sort of back a local project, put this on their coffee table. mm-hmm. and it's something yeah. from the First Coast.
Totally. Yeah. We were talking to Cole out in the green room, and he mentioned, you know, like the first Jacksonville coffee table book was probably like Wayne Wood's architecture one. Like everyone's
we have that one on
it.
Our coffee exactly. table. Yeah. yeah.
And he mentioned that the maybe Cooking with Intuition being the second, maybe hopefully this could be the third. So jump on it.
Well, back this project, only 12 days left to crowdfund on the Kickstarter for Callie Marie Bakes. Just search that on Kickstarter. Callie Marie Bakes, coffee shop inspired baking at home. And there are some cool prizes in store for some of the folks who mm-hmm. kick in a little money. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both so much for being with us. And thank you for the treats.
Of course.
Yeah, we love treats here at First Coast Connect. Callie Marie and Jack, both with Brew 5 Points again. On Kickstarter, just search Callie Marie Bakes. And we're back in a moment as Cole gives us a preview of Players Week. That's after this.
WJCT and Baptist Health are pleased to announce that Amy Robach, news anchor of ABC's Good Morning America, will be this year's afternoon keynote speaker at Girls' Day Out, September 17, 2016, Hyatt Regency Riverfront Hotel. Amy is also a breast cancer awareness advocate and author of My Breast Cancer Journey, From Fighter to Thriver. For more information or for tickets, log on to wjct.org/girlsdayout.
Big day at the job. Make it break time. They're all waiting for you right now in the conference room. Well, they're going to have to wait because you're not leaving the radio until you hear the end of that story. Snap Judgment from NPR. Storytelling with a beat. Do not miss it.
Sundays at 1 on 89.9 WJCT.
This is the sound of drama. This is the sound of your community.
Good morning, live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross.
Stay informed. Enjoy live streaming of your favorite local WJCT and PBS and NPR content, all free from your devices. The WJCT app, available now in the Apple App Store and Google Play.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, last year Amnesty International called for decriminalizing the global sex trade. And since then, the debate has heated up, pitting feminist against feminist with sharply differing solutions for how to protect sex workers. The debate over legalizing prostitution.
Weekdays at 10 right after First Coast Connect on 89.9 FM WJCT.
Welcome back. Well, finally, this hour, it's Players Championship Week.
I'm a pepper, he's a pepper, she's a pepper, we're a pepper. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Here with a look ahead to the huge event on our spring social calendar, Cole Pepper here this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. And before we get into sort of the golf-specific stuff about this, I was thinking about the Players Championship over the last week as we get ready for this week. I love the event, and Jacksonville being a big event city, I think this is one of the best ways to showcase Jacksonville. If you want to show people what Jacksonville's about, what Northeast Florida is about, it's a great time to do it. And it got me thinking even further, and it's something maybe we can discuss when we have a little more time, but the significance of sporting events within mm-hmm. the social calendar in Jacksonville.
Absolutely, and I wanted to ask you about that because golf fans love it from all over the world, but for people that live here and may or may not care about golf, this is an incredible social and networking event. How do you see it in that regard?
Well, it's absolutely that. And having experienced it most of the time through the lens of, you know, a broadcaster, reporter, covering the event from a golf event, but also keeping an eye toward how it's impacting economics in the city, how it impacts businesses, how businesses utilize the thing, whether it's as a networking situation or, you know, as a sponsorship side part of it. It's a great event. And, Florida, Georgia is a terrific event for the city as well, puts the city on the national map. But you start talking about the annual events, the kind of one-off events, and I think the Players' Championship is right at the top of the table mm-hmm. as far as our area is concerned.
If you're a politician or a CEO, how do you work the players to your maximum advantage?
Well, you know, if you're a CEO, I think you probably need to bring in your big existing and big developing relationships. Spend some time out there. It's no secret that the boardroom can lend itself in one regard and the golf course in another. And but you don't have to worry about whether you chip out on 17 and beat the guy. To be able to, spend that time, and I've seen it happen an awful lot with companies that get the big tents out there, and they'll bring their most important accounts or their accounts they're trying to pitch. That's a big part of it. I would say, though, if you want to just kind of showcase Jacksonville, if you're bringing in a lot of potential new businesses coming to Jacksonville, whether they're politician, whatever, stand behind the 18th green. There's that little crosswalk. It's sort of a crossroads there. And just watch. I mean, spend half an hour and watch everything go. First of all, you'll see everybody you've ever met in Jacksonville.
That's
probably
right.
Go by
That's
there.
Right.
And on a Friday or Saturday, just watch. And you will see everything you need to know, I think, about Jacksonville. Maybe some, there'll be some rowdiness in there, certainly.
Yeah.
But you'll also you see the relationships that get formed through the years. Sometimes there are five or six guys who I don't see at all year long. We catch up with the players.
Interesting.
And we never miss a beat.
That's fun. Okay, so with the social and networking part of it, obviously key. Also important to talk about is who's actually going to be playing this year, and not Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods not still coming back from the injury, and looking like he's going to be targeting something late, maybe U.S. Open, maybe later after the U.S. Open here this season. But there is a great field, as always. I think it's 46 of the top 50 players in the world are competing. And right now we have an interesting situation in the world of golf where the number one spot is kind of being jostled around by some terrific young golfers. Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, who had the amazing year last year. Those are kind of the big three right now. But then there are others. Adam Scott has had a very good run of it here. I think if I'm going to make my pick here, and I suspect I will probably...
It's a pepper pick.
It's a pepper pick, and I will probably continue my run of not picking the winner for the 23rd consecutive year. But I think Jason Day is in great shape to win this. This tournament is about ball striking. It's about the second ball. It's not necessarily about, the long drivers do get some advantage, but it's not just long drivers who have won this tournament through the years. And Jason Day has a fantastic all-around game. I think Jason Day will win the Players' Championship.
I am making a note for Monday, May 16th, when you're back here. We're going to play that audio back and see how Pepper's picks turned out. My guess is it might turn out just the way you want.
Now, Jason, by the way, if you're listening and you miss the cut, I will never forgive you.
We also need a sound effect for Pepper's picks. I got to work on that as well.
Get going on that.
All right.
Parking, by the way, the other thing I want to bring up, you can buy parking on playerschampionship.com. Now through Wednesday, free parking out there, the lot off 210. Otherwise, you need to have a parking pass during the tournament.
Okay. Let's talk about other news and notes. Jaguar rookies wrapped up their weekend, and you were watching that.
Yeah, and among the festivities, for a lot less work on the field this year after Dante Fowler's injury last year. They did the entire draft class went over to watch the Armada play on Saturday night as well and were introduced to the crowd. And it's interesting to hear that Jalen Ramsey, you would expect, big cheers from the fans.
Sure.
Miles Jack, the second-round pick, equally big cheers from the fans. So they're kind of co-favorites right now among the Jaguars fan base.
Armada lost at home. I didn't realize that. That's too bad.
1-0 to Rio OKC. Back-to-back 1-0 losses at home. They go on the road for the next two matches. They've got to find a way to find the back of the net, for sure. They've played very well defensively. It's basically been one mistake here and there. They're a lot more solid than they were a year ago at the back. They've got to find a way to get the ball in the net, though.
And the Sharks losing in Cleveland. The Suns split a doubleheader in Tennessee, so not doing so well on the road, either one.
It was not a stellar weekend for local sports teams in terms of the results, for sure.
And let's mention quickly the Kentucky Derby on Saturday. There were some parties over the weekend in Jacksonville with people in their finest Derby attire, and the favorite, the undefeated Nyquist, the Derby champion.
Yeah, wins the Derby, and now that immediately sets up for the conversation After 37 years, last year, American Pharoah broke the string of not having a Triple Crown winner.
Uh-huh.
But Nyquist, who's never lost now, including winning the Derby, there's going to be a lot of attention paid on that horse heading to the next two stages of the Triple Crown races, and we'll see if we get back-to-back Triple Crowns.
That would be unprecedented, wouldn't it,
in
the history of racing?
There have been, in fact, 77 and 78, you had back-to-back Triple Crown winners.
You had Secretariat.
Well, Secretariat was 73.
73. Oh, yep. Now I'm getting my years mixed up.
Yeah, so Seattle Slew and Affirmed.
But, oh, that's right.
But so it has happened, but the fact that we went 37 years without a Triple Crown winner, and now... Again, it's so hard to do it. We know that. But because this horse is undefeated and won the Kentucky Derby, there's going to be a lot of attention paid to him as we get closer to the Preakness and the Belmont.
And in the meantime, we will see Culpepper 1 week from today. Have fun out there.
Thanks.
I'm sure a lot of people will be excited to see you out there. So enjoy it.
Thanks,
out of the
Melissa.
Players. And follow Cole on Twitter at Culpepper for all the latest sports news and notes from around the First Coast. Well, that's our show. Thanks to all of our guests and callers. Our producer is Sean Birch. The show theme composed and performed by the Symphony's Pyotr Chepchik. Make sure to watch the show now as well. Video on demand segments every day with our partners TVJax.com and MetroJacksonville.com. Diane Reams up next with a look at the international push to decriminalize the sex trade. Debate on that is heating up with sharply different ideas for how to and whether to legalize prostitution. That's coming up next. I'm Melissa Ross, and you're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here again at 9 a.m. tomorrow. See you then.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.